In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear friends, tonight we continue our meditations on the sorrows and joys of our dear Saint Joseph in preparation for his great feast. And today we contemplate his third sorrow and third joy, the circumcision of our Lord and his holy name. His circumcision, his first shedding of blood, which of course prefigures his passion, when the sacrifice will be completed. After the doubt of Saint Joseph, which we talked about just 2 days ago, he's now reassured by the message of the angel. He knows that the conception of Jesus is miraculous, and therefore that he is entrusted with a special mission from God as foster father of the Son of God. He knows that this is a miraculous conception, which means without any male seed, and that he is now part of that divine plan. There are, or there were in the Old Testament, several other miraculous or extraordinary conceptions. Remember with Rebecca, Rachel, Sarah, Leah, the mother of Samson, Hannah. But Mary's pregnancy is of course unique, since no human father is involved. Whereas for all the other extraordinary pregnancies or conceptions in the Old Testament, always was another man involved. So Joseph is not convinced of this miraculous conception, and yet he continues to submit himself and follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And despite, again, this miraculous conception, he continues to also follow the law of the circumcision, although he was not bound to this law, and we'll explain. Remember that the circumcision in the Old Testament for the Jews was, of course, not just a hygienic thing. It was part of a very ancient ritual with, of course, as always, there is some kind of hygienic purposes, health purpose, although not proven to have particular medical properties even today. But still, at the time, it was considered as something part of, for health purposes, to avoid diseases and things like that. But as always, there is also attached to it a spiritual meaning. And this is, of course, the most important side of this ritual, spiritual meaning. The origin of circumcision is uncertain. We find many different tribes, many different cultures, through so many centuries with also the ritual of circumcision. For the Jews, however, the circumcision was a sign of the covenant between man and God. It was part of a ritual of purification, like an offering of oneself to God. As we see in the book of Genesis, "This is the covenant you shall keep with me, thou and thine. Every male child of yours shall be circumcised. You shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskins in token of the covenant between me and you. Generation and generation, every male child shall be circumcised when it is 8 days old. And this law shall be binding on your slaves, both those born in your households and those you have bought, though these be of alien breed." Book of Genesis. So a question arises then. Was Joseph bound to present Jesus to the temple for his circumcision, according to what we just explained? And two difficulties here. As we know, Joseph, he was proven already just a few days ago with the miraculous pregnancy of Our Lady and the fact that he did not put her away publicly, but still privately, he shows his righteousness and the fact that he's a just man, following somehow the law. So now again, Joseph is just and righteous, and he's bound to follow the law. However, on the other side, we know that Jesus' conception is miraculous. Therefore, he's pure, he's unstained. There was no male involved in his conception. And Saint Joseph is well acquainted, of course, with the holiness of his Virgin Mother. So did Saint Joseph then need any form? Did our Lord need any form of purification and cleansing? No. Another difficulty, if this son comes from God, would God then need to offer to himself an offering in presenting himself in his humanity to the temple? So he presents himself to himself. He offers himself to himself in the temple, since Christ is true God and true man. So as always, in what we see in Holy Scriptures, there is a teaching for us, an announcement, a prefiguration of something to come. So what is this teaching according to what we just said about first trying to follow the law of the circumcision, and yet, you know, no need for Jesus to do so? What about the shedding, this first shedding of blood in the mystery of the circumcision of our Lord? So Saint Joseph, in this episode of the life of our Lord, teaches us the virtue of simplicity and fidelity. Simplicity and fidelity. Be well what you are, as we often hear. Joseph, knowing the miraculous conception, didn't try to place his son in a place of honor, for instance, in the temple. He had all the reasons in the world to try to prove to the other priest at the temple that Jesus was entrusted with a special mission, since he was convinced of his miraculous conception after the message of the angel. And yet, he stays where he's supposed to be, remains humble, didn't try to convince the priests of this divine privilege, simplicity. No, once again, he remained simple and faithful to his vocation as foster father, as spouse of Mary, and humble carpenter. God operates wonders in simple and faithful souls. This is certainly the first teaching that we receive from the great Saint Joseph in the mystery of the circumcision of our Lord. And with the circumcision comes the holy name of Jesus. So we have heard the teaching from this episode, teaching on simplicity and fidelity. And now comes the announcement. What is prefigured? What is announced in the mystery of the shedding of blood? The name which shall be called Wonderful, the name of Jesus, is the name which is above every name. Here is announced the mission of our Lord. He is the Savior. And now the only worthy offering from now on is the offering of a God made man, soon to shed his whole blood for our redemption on the cross. Once again, at first it's surprising. Why would God literally present himself to the temple as an offering to himself? Except, once again, to close any past offerings and to tell the chosen people that now only one offering is worthy, the true and unique lamb brought to the temple for this first shedding of blood. Remember that in order to recognize themselves, the first Christians used to write the word ictus, which means in Greek, fish. It's an acrostic, which means that every letter of this word ictus refers to a specific word for Jesus Christus, the first letter, the I, Jesus Christus, Theo, Uios Soter, which translates as Jesus Christ, Son of God and Savior. This I, the Yoda, is the first letter of Jesus, Greek, of course, for Jesus. The Chi, C-H-I, is the first letter of Christos in Greek, which means the Anointed One. The Theta, the T, T-H, is the first letter of Theo, Greek for God. And the Upsilon, the U, is the first letter of Uios, Greek for Son. And Sigma, the S, first letter of Soter, as we said, Greek word for Savior. Jesus Christ, Son of God and Savior, Ictus. And St. Augustine comments, if you join the initial letters of these five Greek words, Jesus, Christos, Theos, Uios, Soter, which mean Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior, they will make the word ictus, that is, fish, in which word Christ is mystically understood, because he was able to live, that is, to exist without sin in the abyss of this mortality as in the depth of waters. What power then the name of Jesus must have that ought not first to be uttered by men, nor by them be brought into the world, but only by an angel, as the evangelist tells us. So let's conclude with this beautiful prayer that you can find at the end of the litany of the name, the holy name of Jesus. I encourage you, particularly when you find yourself surrounded by temptations, by the attacks of the devil, to pray the litany of the holy name. O Lord Jesus Christ, who has said, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Mercifully attend to our supplications and grant us the gift of thy divine charity, that we may ever love thee with our whole heart and with our whole words and deeds, and may never cease from praising thee. As we have seen in the example of the great Saint Joseph, the first one, certainly after our Blessed Mother, to utter these sacred words, Jesus Christus. Make us, O Lord, to have a perpetual fear and love of thy holy name, for thou never failest to help and govern those whom thou dost bring up in thy steadfast fear and love. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.